Well, before I get into our sermon this morning, I thought I might share with you just a few of our friends who have decided to disobey the social distancing rules and come and actually be in worship with us this morning. But I do hope that when I show you who these folks are, you'll notice that they have practiced some social distancing. So I invite you to take a look at some of the folks who have joined us this morning as we do worship from afar. Now, you may be asking the question, so what's up with the donkey? I mean, obviously, I've got Mary and Joseph and the wise folks, and they really do represent the best of who you are. But who amongst us is the donkey? And I'll tell you that really the donkey is there to remind me that when I preach my sermons, I'm actually preaching to myself, and so the donkey is me. So let me share with you our scripture for this morning. It comes from the Gospel of John, the 15th chapter, beginning at verse 5 and through 8. Jesus says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God, and thanks be to God. Earlier this week, I was talking with some folks and just connecting with them and just seeing how they were doing. And some of them, many folks commented and shared with me that they know they should be choosing to live by faith and not by fear. You'll remember that's what we talked about last week. But they are finding it a bit challenging. And I'm going to guess that you are probably finding it a bit challenging these days as well. And I find it challenging. I empathize with your feelings and with your emotions throughout this week. It is extremely challenging to live with faith while facing these kinds of situations and not knowing how they're going to end and what is going to happen tomorrow as all this happens around us. We are facing radical changes at a breathtaking pace. So if you thought that living by faith and not by fear was challenging, then you're really going to love what I'm about to talk with you about today. Living with joy. Living with joy in the midst of a crisis. Now, I have to confess, it feels a little weird. It feels awkward, actually, to be talking about joy in the midst when just today, looking at the numbers in the United States, over 19,000 people have been infected with the COVID-19 virus. Of that, over 250 people have already lost their lives. And we know that these numbers will continue to climb. It also feels like when you're talking about joy in the midst of a crisis, that somehow I'm communicating a message that senses that I'm disconnected from what is really happening in the world. I mean, just this past week, over 2.25 million people have requested unemployment benefits. They have filled out the forms for that. And yet in today's scripture, Jesus tells us it would be impossible. It will be impossible for us to live with joy in the midst of all these crises if we're not connected to the vine, if we're not anchored to the vine. Now, you may try to practice positive thinking throughout this experience. You may go to your happy place in your mind. You may spend time meditating and just reflecting and go to that happy place. You may even choose to escape by watching TV and your favorite programs. And in some form or fashion, you will receive some temporary joy. You will receive some temporary satisfaction. but you won't have sustainable joy. You won't have the ability to rejoice in the Lord always in the midst of a crisis, because you will eventually get worn down and worn out in that process if you don't remain connected to the vine. Earlier this week, I've been listening to podcasts. I listen to podcasts often when I go for a run, and then I'll spend a little bit of time reflecting and journaling on the things that I heard. And I was reflecting on some things, and it dawned on me that many people are suffering and experiencing fear and anxiety because they thought what would anchor them in the midst of a crisis, they thought the anchors that they had put down in the storms of life would hold, and they're finding that those anchors are not holding. They're falling apart in the midst of that storm. And so now, as the storm is raging around them, they are looking for refuge. They're looking for safety and sanctuary. And there is nothing, let me tell you, especially for those of you that might be listening to me for the very first time, those of you that may be returning to the church in the midst of a storm, there's nothing more annoying, I think, than hearing somebody stand up in the midst of a storm and say, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And again, I say, rejoice. Now, I'm at a bit of a disadvantage here because I cannot see your reaction to my proposal this morning that we're to have joy in the midst of these very difficult times. I imagine that some of you may be scratching your heads, and the truth, some of you may have actually clicked the button right now and said, "I'm not going to listen to this anymore." But those of you that are staying connected with me, let me first define the difference between joy and happiness. Happiness is situational, and it's an impulsive emotion. When Jackie said, "I do," right, on our wedding day, when I made my engagement proposal to her and she said, "Yes," I was filled with joy. The moment that I held Matthew and I held Melody in my hands for the very first time, I experienced happiness. When we received the certificate for Anaya with our names on her birth certificate announcing us as mom and dad to Anaya, I was experiencing great happiness. The situation, the circumstances, invited what society would consider an appropriate emotional response. But I'm not happy that I'm having to do this worship service without you being here. I'm not happy that I don't know how we're going to observe Holy Week and Easter without having this sanctuary filled with people singing "Christ the Lord is Risen Today," that beautiful sound that comes from the organ and the voices that are joined together. I'm not happy about that. I'm not happy that most of my congregation, most of you that are listening to this, participating in this, are part of the at-risk group and may become infected by the coronavirus. And I'm not happy that millions of people are losing jobs, losing money every single day because of this microscopic bug. Happiness is situational, and it is an impulsive emotion. Remember that happiness is situational, and it's an impulsive emotion. It comes and it goes. When things are going great, I assume this about you. I know this about me. When things are going great, I'm happy. And when a life-destroying pandemic hits, I ain't so happy anymore. Happiness is not joy. Joy is a condition of the heart. When the heart experiences stress, it responds based upon the way the heart has been conditioned. If you and I have done a good job in strengthening our heart and taking care of our heart, then when the situations that come that challenge us, that put stress on our hearts can handle those challenges. They handle that elevated stress in a way that doesn't do harm overall. In a moment, we can handle those things. Our blood pressure may rise for a bit. Our pulse may quicken for a bit. But it returns to a healthy level based upon the condition of our heart. Remember, joy is a condition of the heart. God uses crises. He uses circumstances. He doesn't cause the crisis. He doesn't cause the circumstances, but he chooses to use those for his benefit and for our benefit. He uses it to not only reveal the character, our character, but to also see the conditions of our heart. God wants us to see. He uses the circumstances. He uses the stressful situations so that we might take a moment to look at the condition of our heart and to look at how well we have been doing at guarding our hearts. For we must remember that our hearts, we have to guard our hearts because it is the wellspring of life. From our hearts, life flows. And if we haven't been guarding our hearts, then that flowing stream becomes a dried riverbed. When the world as you know it is getting turned upside down, when the grocery store is no longer able to restock the shelves as quickly as the items are moving out, when holding on to money is like holding on to water, when visiting with grandchildren and great-grandchildren have to be postponed or canceled, when investments tank, these are conditions of the heart that are stressed. And it's these kinds of moments, these are the conditions that reveal the health of our heart and the strength of our character. Many of you know the pain that is associated with a clogged heart. There's pain in the chest. There's shortness of breath. There's onset of dizziness and faintness. The blockage of an artery or several arteries is what causes the heart attack. Now, it is said of people, younger people in particular, but can have a heart attack without blockage. But honestly, what actually is happening when they're experiencing what's called a myocardial fraction or fart, whatever. You know what I'm talking about. I'm not a doctor, you know, and I did stay at the Holiday Inn last night. But what actually happens is some of the plaque that has built up, right? There's not enough plaque there to cause complete blockage, but some of the plaque breaks off. And as it flows in the bloodstream, it comes to a place where it is actually able to cause a blockage. When we fail to guard our hearts by disconnecting from the vine, we are building up some of that plaque. And it comes in the forms of things like negativity, cynicism, pessimism, doubt, fear, worry, anxiety, and the list could go on. And when we get hit with a stressful situation, and I think you might agree with me, we're in the middle of a stressful situation. And not only is it a stressful situation, and not only are we in the middle of it, but we also know that it's going to be a prolonged situation. And we really don't know when the end of this is going to be. And not only that, when it finally does come to an end, when we perhaps get to where China is at, where there's no more cases coming, we still do not know the long-term effects that it's going to have on our medical system, our healthcare system, what impacts it's going to have on our economy and jobs. And, you know, we just don't know. And so it is these kinds of situations that really do say to us, hey, you're in the middle of a heart attack. And so I want to invite us to do a really quick checkup of our heart, right? I'm going to invite you to think about these. How well are you doing at loving the person who was in the store, right, in a grocery store, and they filled up their shopping cart with toilet paper, and as they were leaving, one of the clerks had to say to the person who was buying all the toilet paper, hey, you can't have all those. You need to think about some other people. Put some of those items back. How are you doing at loving that person? As you watch the news, and I'm going to guess that many of you, like me, are watching the news. You want to know the next thing. When you watch the news, how much peace are you feeling? When you leave this church and you go down Avenue A to make a left turn onto 7th Street, and you're in the left turn lane, and someone from the far right, who's supposed to make a right turn, chooses to also make a left turn, how much kindness are you feeling towards that careless driver? Let me ask you this. How much gentleness are you feeling when you've been sitting in the Chick-fil-A drive-thru line for 20 minutes, you get your order, you get home, and then you discover they forgot to put your chunky chocolate chip cookie in the bag? How much gentleness are you experiencing at that point? The other day, the family went out to the putt-putt place over in Port St. Lucie. And I knew I wanted to have a little fun with the girls, and so I said to them, "Hey, what do you think about us playing 10 cents a hole?" And they were like, "Hey, I want 10 cents. That'd be great." As if they're gonna beat me playing putt putt. But they agreed to the bet, and so we said 10 cents a hole. And then when we got to the second hole, I said, "How about we do double or nothing?" So like the first hole was worth 10 cents, the second hole will be worth 20 cents, the third hole will be worth 40 cents, the fourth hole will be worth 80 cents. And you get the picture, right? And they were like, "Ooh, yeah, I love that." And I was like, "Ooh, oh, happy day," because at that point I knew. You know, I had kind of like sandbagged the first couple of holes, but now I was ready to play. And of course, by the time we finished the game, I explained to them, "Now listen, if we had actually been playing this game the way we had talked about, you each would owe me $13,000. And of course, their eyes changed. I share this with you because the scenarios that I just provided a few moments ago, you know, being in the grocery store and finding someone with their shopping cart filled with toilet paper, or, you know, someone making a left turn from the far right lane, or finding out that Chick-fil-A had forgotten my chunky chocolate chip, someone's chunky chocolate chip again, right? That those are just one-off kinds of situations. But if those situations continue to occur, or different situations occur and they begin to accumulate, they act like compound interest, in which I was talking to the girls about. When you begin to accumulate, like these kinds of stresses begin to accumulate like compound interest, it begins to block your heart. And it blocks your heart in such a way that when you're in the midst of a crisis, when you're in the midst of the storm, your capacity to model love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, faith, gentleness, and self-control is almost minimalized, almost to the point that you can't even do that. We discover we are in a storm, and our anchor is not able to hold on. And so I want to ask you, I want to spend just a couple minutes with you talking about, so what do we do in that crisis? What do we do when we discovered we've got some clogged arteries? How do we unclog those arteries? What do we do if it's been revealed that our health, the health of our heart and the strength of our character is not pleasing to us? It's not getting us through what we need to get through in that moment. What do we do? Number one, we need to refuse to swim in denial. All right, that was ugly. You know, denial, the Nile. But we need to stop swimming in denial. You need to accept the truth and say, "Okay, I'm in the midst of a storm, and I'm not responding the way that I thought I would be able to respond. I had hoped that I would be this person who had peace and joy and love and patience and kindness and mercy in the midst of all those kinds of situations, especially in the midst of the situation I'm currently facing." So you stop there. You just confess. You just say, "Look, I wish I was more proactive than reactive. I wish that I would stop for just a moment instead of just doing whatever first comes to my mind." That's step number one, right? Is just stop. Just stop and realize, "Hey, I'm not what I thought I would be." Then number two is, then you create the margin that you need to spend time with God. Because Jesus told us at the very beginning, hey, you can't do these things unless you abide in me, unless you remain connected to me. And so the step number two then is, what do? You got to abide with God. Well, how do we do that? We have to create the margin. We've got to be intentional about spending time with God. You have to listen for God's voice. You have to be willing to share your voice with God. And that takes time. And sometimes we're so hectic and we're doing so many things, we don't have the margin. But guess what? Right now, if you take an inventory of your day, and you discover you don't get to go to a lot of the places that you used to get to. For example, if this goes on for a long period of time, that in a couple of months, man, I'm going to look like this long-haired hippie guy. I may actually be able to cover this bald spot because I can't go to the barber, right? As we practice social distancing, there's probably a lot more opportunity for us to spend time with God. So number one is just confess, hey, I'm not as strong as I thought I would be. I'm not as peaceful as I hoped I would be. I'm not as joyful as I thought. And then number two, you spend time with God. You create the margin and you say, I want to be this kind of person. So then now we have to do the work, right? Prepare to unclog the clog. How do we do that? Number one, we remember that we are human beings, not human doings. When we get in stressful situations, most of us want to do something about it. We hear all these different kinds of situations going on, and we immediately click in to wanting to do something about it. Because we have this sense that if I'm doing something, then I'm in control. And friends, this is a time for us to realize we're not in control. We never have been. And so we have to remember that we are human beings, not human doings. If I'm trying to do something that's all on my own, as I said already, you're going to become exhausted. You're going to become frustrated. And eventually, you'll become depressed or apathetic. And you just throw your hands up in the air and you say, that's it. I'm done. I can't do anymore. As a human being who happens to be a Christian, that's me, that's you, I want to be a person. I want to be a person who trusts God. Get that. I want to be a person who trusts God. Now, because that's what I want to be, now I get to move into the doing portion of that. But I start with, I want to be a person who trusts God. So what do I do at that point? How do I go about trusting God in the midst of a crisis? Well, when I start there, when I start my prayer saying, Lord, I want to be a person who's more trusting, God says, well, then listen. Here's what I want you to do. If I say, God, I want to be a person who is to be more peaceful, God says, well, then listen, this is what I want you to do. You see how the equation works? I tend to go out and I do, and then I try to become, and what I discover is that I got it wrong in the equation. Number two, it's really the same thing as we heard earlier. I become intentional about abiding with God. I create the margin, and then I do it. I spend time with God. I want to be a person, get that, I want to be a person who abides with God, who is connected with God. So what do? I abide with God. I connect with God. I need to trust my relationship with God. And I need to trust that that relationship is strong enough to hold me in the midst of the storm. If I have to choose to not, I have to choose to not trust my own strength. When it feels like everything is coming around me, when I can hear the winds howling, when I can see the numbers falling in my investment account, and I can watch the numbers rising on the number of people who've been infected and who are dying, I have to trust that God is my anchor, that God is who God says He is. And that God, I am who God says I am. That you are who God says you are. You are God's beloved. You're God's masterpiece. And God has said, I will be with you. I will not forsake you. I will not leave you. My friends, these are the steps to having joy in the midst of a trial, in the midst of trying circumstances like we're currently facing. And so I encourage you, my friends, to have joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, but I remind you, it is impossible. It is fruitless to try and have joy without being connected, without being anchored with God.